Hello, everyone, and welcome to Podcat, the premier, original, best, flagship, and most consequential episode of the prestigious Podcat Network. I am one of your prestigious hosts. My name is Samuel Brady, and I'm joined, as always, by my illustrious co-host,
Veronica Brady. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi.
Do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do.
I don't know what you're singing.
We just watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the teaser trailer that came out about 3 days ago.
Yeah.
This recording.
Yeah, agreed. And so this is just going to be a quick and dirty podcast because Samuel and I have a fundamental disagreement about this.
So I ended and I said, well, what do you think? And she said, about what? And I said, Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio. She said, are in it? And I said, no, they're fucking silly in it.
And I don't understand how you gauged that from that.
Okay. All right. So in one with very limited dialogue, about half of the dialogue that we were presented with is the interviewer talking to them about their roles. He says, what is your job? He's like, well, being an actor is a dangerous job. Stunt doubles meant to carry the load. And Brad Pitt's just off there looking kind of like what he's doing, one of his goofy roles.
Looking beautiful.
Well, also with the posture and attitude that he's going to be kind of goofy Brad Pitt in this one, right? That's a feeling as goofy, sure. Brad Pitt. And goofy Brad Pitt says, he goes, is that how you describe your job? And he says, carrying his load? Yeah, that sounds about right. And they give a wry look to one another, and then it has spunky music and carries on with the trailer.
And so, and from that, you think they're gay?
Yeah. No, well, not necessarily.
Well, maybe not even gay, but they're definitely fucking.
They might just be Hollywood people in the 60s. What I mean is they're having sex.
Wait, okay, now I'm confused. Hollywood people in the 60s?
Not all Hollywood people, but I just mean like their sexuality might just be fame and fun in one another.
Okay, that's not what you said moments ago. You said they're fucking, they're gay.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I was like, I don't know how you get that from that brief trailer.
Uh-huh.
And as most of my friends know, I don't ever know when anyone's gay.
Uh-huh.
Period. I'm just like, uh-huh. Oh, okay, cool, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know that gaydar is even a thing. I don't know. Some people say it's real. I can never tell. And I don't think it's any of my fucking business anyway. So it doesn't
right.
matter if I can tell.
But you are fascinated when somebody has a strong gaydar reading and you're just like, from what? How? When?
Yeah. How did you know? I'm always like just completely perplexed because I don't get a reading at all.
Mm.
So, but in any event, let us know your thoughts about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Sure,
the
sure.
trailer, the minute 45 trailer. And let me know if you think they're fucking or not, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Sam, that was 3 minutes and 10 seconds of time. That's not really a good podcast.
Once
That's like a tenth
Once
of a podcast.
Time in podcast. That's
Once
what
Upon
we'll
a Time in
call
podcast.
The episode.
Although it is almost twice as long as the trailer that we watched.
So the audience can see this, but I just gave you a wink.
I bet you they know we're fucking now.
I know. They're gay for each other.
Yeah, totally. What else have you been doing?
What else have I been doing?
Yeah.
Working hard, having fun.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I'm doing all my gardens.
You've been having incredible achievements in the gardening sector.
Yes. In the gardening sector, mm-hmm. I've been having achievements. yeah, it's looking real good. I'm very excited about it.
She's constructed great. All kinds of raised beds that are, she designed them, planned them out, built them out of lumber and deck screws and black paint. And they're filled with gardening soil, and you have a drip irrigation system that runs mostly under mulch, but goes all throughout where not only the raised beds are, but then the shrubs at the front of the house and then the flower beds
mm-hmm.
are. So it's this thing that waters itself twice a day on a timer. It's really spectacular.
Yeah, thank you. I'm pretty excited. I get a lot of compliments from our neighbors now. We were outside raking. Well, I say we you were just kind of hanging out with me, but I was outside raking. And this lady drives by in her minivan, stops, rolls down her window, and she yells, "Your yard looks beautiful!" And I was like, oh, thanks. And like so many people have stopped to say nice things to me.
Mm.
But she's a true Southern woman, and she will not let you have a compliment without
no.
being a little nasty at
mm-hmm.
the end of it. And so as she's about to roll up her window, she decides, I need to say one more thing. And then she yells across, much better than the weeds and brambles and all that it used to be. And I was like, bitch. I was so pissed.
She's like, I'd give your garden an award. Most improved.
Yeah, you asshole. I was so irritated by her. But yeah, that was that.
See, the thing about Veronica and I is that we tell it like it is.
We tell it like it is.
That's a big joke between us. Because Jesus. All anyone will ever say about themselves in a professional or personal context in the state of Texas is that, well, you have to know what's unique about me. And you won't hear this from just anyone, because this is just me. I am a straight shooter. And I tell it like it is.
Yeah.
And everyone believes that that is a unique quantity unto themselves. Oh, that makes them special. So Veronica and I will jokingly oftentimes just talk to each other in text and speak, and we'll be like, well, you know, I did this because I don't know if you know this about me, but I, Sam Brady, I tell it like it is because I'm a straight shooter.
Yeah, I'm in this leadership thing, and at our opening retreat, there's like this whole thing, and you have to like, there's all these different personality traits and stuff that are on this piece of paper, and we're all meeting each other for the first time. And so we have to walk around and say like, oh, are you always on time? Are you always late? Do you tell it like it is? Are you shy? Are you confident? And all these things. So you have to walk around and be like, hey, do you tell it like... And that's the first thing I did, is I just walked up to someone and said, do you tell it like it is? Oh, you do? Cool, great. Could you initial this?
Right.
It was so dumb. Like, I hate it when that's on things.
It's nothing speech.
No, it's nonsense.
Word salad. Texas word salad.
Oh my God. It's just nonsense.
So we're sorry I haven't produced a podcast in a little while. You may have noticed in the news that there is the Mueller report that was just issued to Congress. I'm not saying that we had the most critical role to play in that, is how I'll phrase that. But I will say that between Bob Mueller and I, there's been one full report produced this weekend. I'm not going to say who did most of the heavy lifting. Between the pair of us, I'm just saying between the two of us, somewhere in that equation, we've produced a Mueller report.
And as the woman in this equation, I have been completely left out, having done all of the work.
So, you know,
I'm receiving exactly none of the pay.
I'm not saying anything. Maybe I can, maybe I can't say anything, or maybe this is nothing, but just saying. There's a report out, and we haven't had a podcast out in a while. Maybe we'll have more podcasts.
And now it's Mueller time.
It's Mueller time.
It's Mueller time. Well, Sam, what else is happening in our lives? Ugh, finishing up school. We're about to graduate from our respective degree programs.
I've got just a few weeks left of my last undergraduate classes ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy.
Really
have you
hard.
Told podcast what you're doing post baccalaureate degree?
No, but I think we could, right? You want to go into that at all?
It's up to you. It's your life.
Sure. Okay. So since about last October, I think, I've been studying full time for the LSAT. I follow mostly the thinking.
Sam. What does LSAT mean?
The Law School Admissions Test.
Law school? But isn't that just for people that don't like blood and math?
There was a funny interview where someone's just like, boy, things have been tough for law school candidates. There's so many people who are not using their degrees. There's insane amounts of debt. There's high suicide and substance abuse rates among this profession. Seems to be diminishing prospects. They're going on and on. And the guy kept on saying again and again, well, it's still a great option if you're smart and don't like blood and don't like math. You don't want to be a CPA, a doctor, or banker, or a stock person, but you feel like you're intelligent. You want to trade on your intelligence and try to work really hard on being smart. Come to law school.
That's very funny.
It was an interesting and informative interview, but yeah. But I've mentioned all the horrible things that are obstacles on this path, because it is a very difficult thing to do, but I've been working very hard at it to try to make responsible choices of not paying for law school and working hard up front to get a good LSAT score so I get a full ride somewhere. My highest score on record for an official LSAT is a 160, and my practice test scores seem to suggest I could do quite a bit better than that. I have a number of scores that are 165 plus, so I'm working really hard to achieve that 165 plus that I know I'm capable of, and I'll sit for the test as many times as is necessary in order to get that. Next time I sit for it is this next weekend, and it's been pretty crazy doing full-time school, full-time work, and full-time LSAT.
Yeah.
But I've been loving it. It kind of helps me feel sharp, and when you have so much work, and it's sometimes hard to dive into it, but I feel like the LSAT makes me a better employee, weirdly, because the LSAT, you just dive into a 35-minute session, and it's like you're going over a waterfall. You have no choice but to immediately be busy, and I've been taking that same philosophy to work, to just doing a quick LSAT prep thing to help me get rolling and being productive and working hard to achieve my goals and all sorts of things. So
yeah.
I've been enjoying it.
We, after your LSAT in, was it November or December?
I took it in November and I took the January.
Okay. So after your LSAT in November, we took a long month off of studying, of just not prepping, of not doing anything other than like doing a lot of good family time. And we took a trip to Utah. So that was really fun on the way up.
We haven't told them about
our harrowing. No, we haven't told them anything about our lives.
Harrowing trek back to Texas. Wow. So
we drive a hybrid car, and we really enjoyed making these really long road trips together. It's a lot of fun for us, and I know that a lot of people do not like long road trips, but we like them. And we decided that we were going to do a long family road trip with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we went from Texas to New Mexico in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And we slept at a really nice casino in New Mexico, which I great loved.
Great resort, yeah.
The kids ended up going up to their dad's house from Salt Lake and after Christmas. And so Sam and I were like, hey, you know, we're driving back by ourselves. Why don't we go to Colorado, go to Garden of the Gods and all that good stuff and just like take a day or two to have a little vacation to ourselves.
So to have you in the right frame of mind for the trip home from our vacation, I'd have you watch either the movie The Revenant or 127 Hours.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's both of those exactly movies are kind of the experience.
Although I will say that we ran across some very nice people on our trek home.
That's true. One gave me a knife.
One gave you a knife. For no reason, because okay, so we're driving from Utah into Colorado, and all of a sudden it's snowing. Who knew?
You say all of the sudden, all of a sudden, all of the sudden. I've been a controversy on Twitter lately. Anyways, please continue.
Nothing is a Twitter controversy.
Sorry, I'm just a straight shooter. I like to tell it like it is.
Oh, so, thank you, Sam. You know. I really appreciate that type of honesty. I can't expect that from others, but I can get that from you. Jesus. Okay, so anyway, so I was driving and I was like, oh boy, it sure is snowy.
Oh, yeah.
The and the ropes were really, really bad. And we were just like, it was my first time ever to drive into snow. And it was terrifying the whole time. And so finally we ended up stopping to go get gas. And I was like, you have to take over. Because Sam has a lot of experience driving in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so funny because Sam's advice to me was, slow down, stay away from everyone. That was it. That was your advice. And mm-hmm. I think that's solid advice.
Sure.
And so it's just like, that's it.
There's specific braking things, but you don't want to get to that. You just want to be calm, steady, a little slower than you think, and away from people. That's generally it, yeah?
Yeah, so I was shocked that that was...
My years of experience in mountainous terrain, in incredible blizzards.
Yeah. I received more training on what to do when you're hydroplaning.
We did some nice prep beforehand. Like, we had chains in the thing. We had a lot of emergency supplies. So it's not like we're completely going into a thing. But as far as driving, yeah, it's slippery. It sucks. You just want to keep a very cool head. But there's not, like, a lot of magic tricks. It's a lot of just being calm, cool, collected, and thinking straight.
Yeah.
In situations where people may not be thinking. Yeah.
So I had got us an Airbnb while we were in Utah because we kind of just made the decision on the fly, right? So I got the Airbnb and the photos show a back door to someone's house and are like, oh, we have this like little area of the house. It's really nice. It's separated. You don't even have to see us, blah, blah, blah. It's like a mother-in-law suite.
Mm-hmm.
It was a basement and it was fine.
It was a very nice basement closet.
Mm-hmm. It was a very nice basement closet. I will say the bed was fine.
The bed was fine. It was the bed took up the vast majority of the room.
Two-thirds
it was
of the room.
About a full-sized bed.
Yeah.
There was not. We wanted a sparse place because we had every intention of being out and about, being to the Garden of the Gods, being busy. So we're
going hiking.
We're
and
busy.
Stuff.
One of the things that stood out as we're driving is there's this local pizza pub place that looked interesting.
Well, because we drove so late. We added another 3 hours onto the trip because we had intended to get in around dinner time. And we were not able to do that at all. So,
what's better midnight food that you can have quickly and reliably than pizza? Go to this nice local joint.
Had lots of great reviews on Yelp.
We get a pizza and some breadsticks. We eat some of that. We go to bed. Did you wake up in the night with cramps?
No, I just woke up feeling not great.
Okay, I woke up several times in the night with like pressure in my chest and in intense cramps. We wake up in the morning, we're sweating, we have to go to the bathroom constantly, we're constantly on the verge of nausea, and I just like right below my esophagus and in my whole chest area, it just feels like someone is just pushing really hard. There's just intense pressure.
It was scary because I thought you might be having a heart attack.
Because we had very severe food poisoning.
It was horrific.
And we were vultures circling the bathroom, unable to move, sweating out of every pore for the entire day. Like food poisoning, like I have not had in quite a long time.
I don't think I had ever had food poisoning to that extent. I mean, well, I don't even know that I've ever had food poisoning based on that experience. Yeah. It was horrendous.
I threw up a couple times.
I don't remember if I did or not. I really blocked out because I ended up getting like tremendously high fever. I was like at 102 for a while, and then I took medication and it pulled it down. And I just remember being like under all of the blankets and just still could not.
Yeah,
I was just full on chills. It was awful.
And it was and I like all I wanted to do was be in the bed, but all I needed to do was be hugging the toilet the whole time.
Yeah.
So I was kind of in that agony where you can't decide how much to push it, where to push it, and you're just feeling shitty. So we were in this full-sized bed stuffed into a closet for most of the day doing that. Finally, do decide to try to go to the Gardens of the Gods. We're feeling okay. Get out of the car, start walking around. Immediately, we both need to use the restroom several times. Filled with cramps.
I went to the Garden of the Gods, the museum center or whatever,
like the lobby thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, like they have like a lot of stuff that you can go in and look, and it was really a neat thing. If you're in Colorado Springs, I highly recommend that you go because it was such a good view
from the gift shop. It seems great.
Yeah, the facility was wonderful, and I walked in there and I walked to the farthest stall in the bathroom, and I just lurched. That's the first time I remember throwing up, but I just threw up so much. And I remember thinking, like, I haven't eaten anything. This is terrible.
You're just dry hitting at that point.
Oh, it was so bad. And this lady that was in the restroom with me, she's like, "Hun, are you okay?" And I was like, "I'm fine." Oh, it was so bad.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it was just such a shitty experience.
And whole time when we were vacationing together, that was just beginning to end.
And
crazy food poisoning.
And I am a person, if I want to like enjoy myself and have a good time, there is nothing that is going to get in my way, not even food poisoning. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, we're going to go to Target, we're going to get some medicine, and then we're going to go to the goddamn movies.
Oh yeah, that was nice because we just sit down in a dark room, and if we needed to go to the bathroom,
it wasn't
a huge thing where you have to travel to find it, like in Garden of the Gods.
Yeah.
So we went and saw Vice.
And I loved the theater because it was like one of the ones with the recliners.
A great theater.
Oh, it was such a good one. I remember like thinking, why can't we just stay here all night and eat popcorn and stay in the recliners?
We just did not want to leave that.
I didn't want to leave because our little
basement
was so...
Someone did something crazy in that theater. I can't remember what. I remember there was one person who was kind of nuts.
Oh, so the whole thing is about George Bush. If you haven't seen Vice, George Bush's vice president, Dick Cheney. And Donald Rumsfeld is a really big character in this as well, but also Dick Cheney's wife. And the people behind us, oh my gosh, you could tell they were just conservative Republicans. It was crazy, but his commentary on the whole movie was just astounding.
Oh, I remember one guy was a really big fan of Colin Powell.
Yeah.
And Colin was giving some speech. He's like, "Yeah, you tell him, Colin." Like he had a hero in that.
That was very cute. I like that. Yeah. I think that was the guy behind us. Yeah. And then the guy that was kind of next to our side was the one that was like, oh, damn. Oh, damn. And I was like, am I in Texas? I don't even know that anyone saw this movie in Texas. It was so funny. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go and see Aquaman while we were there, but we just, I don't know.
Continuing our trek. We're really anxious to go. Oh, yeah. So we're so excited to get home after all that. And then we're passing through some of the big mountains there and going over a mountain. We come back the other end. And
we have the worst steak dinner of our life in Amarillo.
I think, it was before Amarillo that the windshield wiper fluid froze.
Yeah, that was actually in Utah before we got to Colorado. Oh, I guess
before Colorado. So we had to stop and for a couple of hours so them to thaw out the fluid and give us different, better de-thawing fluid. And it was so filled with salt that you had to have windshield fluid to wash off
the
salt in order to see. So we got stranded there for a little while. You keep going past Colorado, past food poisoning.
You're skipping the point where the guy gives you the knife. So the guy at the dealership, because we're driving by, I was like, oh, hey, there's a Ford dealership. Let's just go in and see if they can fix this wiper problem real quick.
Uh-huh.
Of course, it's not quick. But so he's like, okay, well, here's what I did to fix your windshield wiper. I poured a lot of hot fluid on your very cold car.
Mm-hmm.
And that did something. And he's like, now go down the road, tell so-and-so I sent you. And you want to get the orange wiper fluid. And I was like, great. Cool.
So we go to the O'Reilly's.
We go to the O'Reilly's. We tell him that Don or whoever sent us.
Then he looks at me very seriously and he slides a pocket knife across. And he's just, I appreciate that.
So we buy.
It's wrapped. Like it's a wrapped pocket. I didn't even exactly register it as a pocket knife. It was just so funny to me that it's a whole pocket knife. And it's not like a little
plastic Wasami one.
It's like a full knife. Thank you.
So we bought $5 worth of wiper fluid and got
a knife. I felt like a point and click puzzle kind of RPG game from the 90s.
Yeah.
Where you get a mundane item and there's this big significance on it because this knife is going to come in handy later.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, is this a rare item?
Yeah, right. It just sits in your inventory. Every time there's a door, you click the knife and you click on the door and it says, I can't use that now.
Yeah.
You just have to wait until you find it. Jesus. And then it's going to be on a cup of coffee or something. It's going to be something that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this will stir my coffee and get through the mission.
So in any event, so that's when Sam got the knife. Uh-huh. And then we're driving through Texas. And when we got into the car in Colorado, everything was fine. We had some brake issues in Colorado. The lights were being weird. So we went to a parking lot, turned them off, turned the car back on,
and we go.
This is December 31st.
New Year's Eve.
We had intended to be home to celebrate New Year's Eve.
And to be off
and
the
watching
road.
Netflix.
We had a lot of delays, but we wanted to be off the road
at 7 p.m.
So we keep it delayed. We get into this small town called Quano? Quano?
Sorry. I can't remember where it's
something
called.
Something kind of like Quano. That might not be exactly it. But a population 2,000, according to the sign.
For those of you that are Texans or bull riding fans, it is the hometown of Lane Frost.
Right.
Which I didn't know.
They had a big bull thing.
Oh, man.
And it said that.
So that's right next to Oklahoma.
You come to a point where you're really traveling through Texas. And when you're in it and you are between, there's nothing around you for quite some time. There will be little towns. I think they're every 30 or every 50 miles.
Yeah.
And they were specifically placed. This is one of the towns that was placed when there was this highway built in the 1920s or something. And they would have steam cars where you need to refill the radiator with water.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them had an operational range of about 30 miles. So there'd be these towns popped up every 30 miles along this highway. So they could be water refueling station for your radiator, for your car to drive through Texas. And this car is just kind of this town, excuse me, has just kind of been here through that. It was a very, very nice town. We were wowed by how many people went out of their way to be very, very, very kind
to us. So what had happened was we're driving into this town. It's about like 6-7 o'clock, something like that. Mm-hmm. And Sam's like, hey, the brakes are being weird. The signals are coming on. And the lights are even flashing in the cabin of the car. And I was like, that is fucking weird. So we pull over at a truck stop. They don't have any brake fluid. And I was just like, that's crazy.
But then also the brake thing looked weird. Like, I couldn't get a rating on where the brake fluid was at the thing.
Yeah, it was too strange.
I'd never used it before, but it was weird that I couldn't see.
Well, because in brand new cars, you shouldn't be adding brake fluid.
So we find a 24-hour garage. This is New Year's night, right? New Year's Eve night. Pull up to the garage. They're willing to take a look at the car. They take a look at it, and they very quickly and very firmly say, you can't drive anywhere. You can't drive this a foot. Like, you have a huge break in your fluid lines.
Your brake line is...
You are bone dry on brake fluid. You are moments away from losing control of this vehicle. It is done. It cannot move. And it's just like
So they help us get our car over to the hotel across the street.
Yeah, and they poured a whole bunch of brake fluid in there, and they would show you. You'd step on the brakes, it would splurt out, like, violently.
Just all over our engine compartment.
Right.
Oh, it was so... And, like, to me, stuff like that is so fucking stressful. Like, it's just stressful when things happen, like, that are out of your control. But, like, when a dude is like, oh, man, you're really lucky that you pulled over because the next thing that would have stopped you would have been another vehicle.
Right.
And we're going, like, 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know, like,
on New Year's Eve night.
You know?
Already a dangerous time to be driving.
So, sorry, I've been sick for, like, 4 weeks.
Yeah. if we get crashed in the middle of those two towns.
Oh, my God.
Think about how far away any facilities, services, hospitals would have been.
So crazy.
Long, long, long ways away. Very long.
And we had no idea where we were at.
No, we didn't know where we were at because it was just like some random town. So we
go across the street to the hotel.
It's a Best Western affiliate. But it's got some local name. They're very kind. Oh, the garage, by the way, New Year's holiday things would not accept money from us.
Like, we were wanting to give them cash. Like, we're like, oh, please.
Really trying to,
like,
give them any amount of money.
We're so thankful to them.
And he's just like, just write a review online if you want to. But no, you're going to need some money for some repairs. And we can't provide those repairs to you. So save your money for that. Because we can't help you. But you do need some help.
Crazy. And I was just like, wow. So we both went and wrote reviews on their Yelp and Google.
Yeah.
Like, that night. We go across the street to the
Best Western affiliate.
Yeah, the hotel. And the lady's like, hey, if you'll sign up for this rewards card. She could tell that we were just like completely out of it.
Exhausted,
we were
stressed.
Crazy. And she was just like,
sick.
Yeah. We still weren't feeling good because we had just had food poisoning the day before.
The worst food poisoning probably of either of our lives.
God. So this lady puts us in a king suite in this like thing. She's like, go lay down. Y'all are going to be fine. Your car is going to be fine. Everything's, you know, blah, 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 all this stuff. So that's that. I call my papaw and he's going to come and tow us back. And the guy at the U-Haul place, because we have to get a trailer to like haul back our car. He comes in and opens for us on New Year's Day.
When he typically isn't open. We had called him a bunch and were able to explain sort of stuff was going on.
Yeah.
So he came in just so we could rent that one U-Haul. He was very
nice.
It was
so nice. Uh-huh. And then I asked the ladies, like, hey, could I pay to do like a half day because we had to stay until like 1 o'clock or something.
And we didn't know exactly when we could check out either, but we needed it was freezing cold.
Yeah. Oh, it was like,
there was nowhere to be.
Legitimately freezing.
Yeah.
So I was just like, could we wait out in the lobby? She's like, no, don't worry about it. You guys stay there as long as you need. We're not charging you. And I was like, what is this town?
Late checkout. Yeah. It was like a Twilight Zone town that like traps you by how nice people are until the trap springs up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was just like, we're gonna get killed.
Right.
Sure.
It was too nice. It was one of those, it felt like a small Twilight Zone town where there's a monster that they're being nice to keep you around to feed you to.
It was crazy.
But it was everyone was very sweet.
So nice to us.
And your papa wasted no time in traveling very far to come get us. And then he took us back the last 250 or so miles. But then we finally got home. Yeah. Oh, and then your car was in the shop for a month?
Yeah, a month. My car was in the shop for a month.
They had to order in parts, and then they didn't order in the right parts. And it was like 2 weeks between ordering parts.
And I was in this... Sam gets irritated with me because this rental car was, of course, better than his car. Because he drives our oldest car. And I was just like, the whole time I was like, I fucking hate this car. I just hate it, you know? This tiny little SUV. It's like a bullshit vehicle. And
the car was exactly for nobody.
Exactly for nothing.
Like, it compromised everything away. There was no choices that the car was making successfully.
The last weekend that I had that car, the seatbelt stopped working.
Yeah, the seatbelts didn't work. It's a brand new car. SUV, so it's crazy bad fuel efficiency. But it's so small to be, like, more efficient.
Yeah,
that you can't do any... Like, it has no trunk.
Then you're going to
carry stuff in that SUV, right?
Yeah.
Like, the car is for nobody.
Children who are used to being in our sedan, which is a large sedan, you know, they were like, our knees are touching the back. We're like, there's nothing we can do. It's a rental car.
Yeah, I cannot imagine who that car was for.
It's so crazy. So anyways, it was awful. A month, and then I finally got my car back. And the whole time, I had to keep calling the dealership of like, what's the update? What's the update? Over and over. And it was just so frustrating. I couldn't believe it. And at the end, like, he was just like, I don't know how much this is going to cost you and this, that, and the other. And it should have all been under warranty.
And it was.
And it was. But, like, I didn't know what our cost was going to be until I went to pay it. So we were, like, not spending money. Because we had been told, like, oh, it could be close to $1,000, you know, $1,200. And I'm like, well, F, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like... so stressed out. I go there, it's $100.
Yeah, everything was under warranty. It was including the use of the rental car and everything like that. It was just kind of crappy to have a problem that severe on like a brand new vehicle, but B, to be out the car for so long. But
yeah, it was crazy. So anyways, that was the tale of Christmas.
Yeah, the trip home took like a month.
Yeah. Oof, it was awful. Excuse me.
Nice to talk to you, everyone. Wish me luck for my LSAT this next Friday.
Next Friday. Yep. Sorry about that, guys.
I'm going to keep going until I get that 165.
165. Cool.
Cool.
Love you. No, I was talking to them.
Love you, them.
Bye.
Bye.